All right, so we're in Ayin Gimel on the days again in Yuma. So the Gemara's question, the Gemara's problem was, why does the Mishnah say Aser Bachila Vishtiya when there's Mr. Karis? So the answer is, the first answer is that it's talking about Chatzi Shira. Okay, so that gets into the question of the Machlokas of Chatzi Shira. So the Gemara says that's good according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says Chatzi Shir is Aser min HaTorah. So the Mishnah reads very nicely that there's an Issa Daraisa on Chatzi Shir on Yom Kippur. But Reish Lakish says Chatzi Shir is Mutter min HaTorah. So how is he going to learn the Mishnah of Aser Bachil Vashisiyah if he holds Chatzi Shir is Aser min HaTorah? So the Gemara says, not a problem. Rabbi Reish Lakish agrees that it's Aser Midrabanan. And therefore the Mishnah says, Aser Bachila Vashisiyah, it's referring to Issa Drabanan. Okay, so now the Gemara takes a long path to a question on Reish Lakish holding Chatzi Shir Aser Midrabanan. Okay? Okay, so it says like this. It says like, we'll just say it, what we did so far. Well, the Gemara says like this: if it's true that Chatzi Shir is Aser Midrabanan according to Rabbi Reish Lakish, if there's an Isser Chatzi Shir, even the Midrabanan according to Reish Lakish, so then you shouldn't be chayav a carbon shua, right? If a person makes a shua not to eat Chatzi Shir, let's say, and you hold there's an Isser Midrabanan to eat a Chatzi Shir, so then you'll have the problem of an Isser shouldn't be chal on an Isser. Right? It's mushba ve'omid me'arsinai. So if you're going to tell me that Reish Lakish holds Chatzi Shir is Aser Midrabanan, then you shouldn't find the case where he shouldn't be able to hold that you'll get that you'll be chayav a carbon shvua on a Chatzi Shir. And if I can show you that he holds you chayav a shvu on a chatzi, that you chayav for a shvu on a chatzi shir, then that implies that he holds chatzi shir is mutter completely. And if he holds chatzi shir is mutter completely, then how does he read the Mishnah? Right? That's bringing it all the way back. Okay? So now the Gemara is going to try to prove, the Gemara is going to prove that Reish Lakish holds your chayav a carbon on Chatzi Shir, right? So that's what we started last week. That the Mishnah says if a person makes a shua to not eat nevelos and trefos, right? Isurim. Tanakama says he'll be chayav for violating the shua, and Rabbi Shimon says he'll be potter. And the Gemara says, why is he chayav? Right? Makes sense to say he's potter. Why is he chayav on the Nevela and the Trefa? He's already a Mushba of Omi Mar Sinai. So Rav, Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan all gave the same answer. that the case is not that the person said, I won't eat Nevela Dafka, but he said he won't eat Shchuta and Nevela. So he's Kolel Heter with the Isser. And really what they're arguing about is Isser Kolel. Right? Rabbanon say he'll be Chayev because of Isser Kolel. And Rabbi Shimon in general holds from no Isser Kolel. So just to review what we were saying with Isser Kolel, I think we put it a good way this morning. I was talking to Aaron that was saying if you hold by Isser Kolel, right? So then what you're really saying is that there's no problem of the state of having one entity with two Isurim on it, right? The problem somehow is getting there. And for some reason, if you try to take a nevela alone and say there's an Isser Shvua on the nevela, then it won't be chal. But if you take Shchuta nevela, then the Isser will be chal. So what we were trying to say last week is that there's no contradiction in saying something has two different shemos. Happens all the time, right? And in the terms of the halachic system, there's nothing that's offensive about that idea. As a matter of fact, it makes perfect sense. There's no reason why it shouldn't be. In other words, each mitzvah, we said, every the system of Torah
is a system of ideals and perfection. And every mitzvah represents a different kind of a perfection or ideal. So there's a certain perfection of eating basar shchuta, meaning not to engage in yataiva and to eat something without preparing it properly. Okay? Suppose that's the concept. And then there's another ideal and perfection of doing kol yotzei mipicha yaseh, to do what you say you're going to do. Especially if you take a shrua, it means you're going to... A shrua really is equating it to God in a certain sense. You're saying, because you take a shrua by the name of God. So if you say that something is true by the name of God, then it definitely is an ideal and a perfection to not violate it, right? So there's no reason why one piece of meat can't reflect two different ideals and two different perfections, right? The nevela that I said I won't eat. If I would eat it, would have two problems. I would have consumed something without preparing it, and I would have gone against my word that I swore by God that I would keep. Right? So that's building up the question of why do you even need an Issur Kol, right?
Right, yeah.
So really, just right, so stam, why shouldn't you have why should you even need an Issur Kol? It should just be chal, one on top of the other. Okay. So that's what we're trying to say, is that the idea of ein iser chalal iser is an axiom that is an axiom in the Torah. It's a given that we have from Chazal. They knew that is true, and we're trying to understand why. So we're saying like this. We're trying to explain last week is like this. That it's true. The Torah is a system of ideals and perfections, but at the same time, it is a system of ideals that comes down to action. That's really what the Torah is about. It's ideals, a mitzvah. What is a mitzvah or an iser? It really is an action that reflects an ideal. Okay? There's no mitzvah of just an ideal. It has to concretize in some sense. It has to come down to the realm of doing or not doing. Okay? So the problem over here is in the chalos of the mitzvah. We're saying that it's true mitzvahs represent ideals and perfections, but they're in the realm of action. They sort of have to take on a form of a concrete form of action. So the problem is that we don't say that the second mitzvah or second iser will be chal if there's no reflection of it in action. So if the nevela was already usher to be eaten, right? And now I say I'm going to take a shua not to eat it. It's true in an abstract sense there's something added, but that doesn't have the quality of mitzvah. Mitzvah has to be a cross between an ideal and an action. So it can't be chal where there's no availability of action. I already know it's already usher from nevela. So the action of eating it is already the iser to eat it already exists. There's nothing new that's being prescribed by the shua. But hold on. But once once I can say that there is a reflection anywhere. Once I say the shchuta, once I include shchuta and the vela, now that whole idea of my shua comes into a reality, and now it's chal completely, everywhere.
Why do we hold it like that instead of two separate? Meaning, now I'm adding on, you know, to the side that I can't. This is now also to me. But it's still the same application by this by the, that which is already usher.
Once again, I'm sorry.
It's already.
It's like the example. I don't know. To my mind, the example I gave last week that seemed to be the best was when I said, we gave the example if a person gets a promotion, right? So he goes from being a manager to a general manager, whatever you're going to call it, right? So there, let's say there's only one extra thing that. So if the title is just academic, right? Nothing really changed. The guy says, you get a promotion. You're now something. You're now the general manager. But, and he says, well, what can I do now that I couldn't do before? Nothing. Right? Can I get the key to the bathroom? No, nothing. You don't get anything. So then you wouldn't say you got a promotion. Nothing happened. Nothing occurred. You might have gotten a new name, but there's no reality to that. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
But if you can now say, now he says, no, now you're the general manager. There's one extra thing you can do. Right? But now it turns out every single thing I do is different. Every single thing I do, I'm a new kind of a person now, and every single thing is, you don't say that you're only the general manager when you do that new thing, right? There is a new position. There's a new defined position called this general manager. And you don't say that you're the manager on 99% of the time, and then when you do that one thing, then you're the general manager. In other words, there needs to be some manifestation of the reality of the position in order for it to be able to be conferred upon you. So is there such a thing as a general manager? Well, if it doesn't have any nafkamina between the regular manager, then it's just a fiction, so to speak. Okay? But if I can show it in one piece, now there's a reality, and now you have that shame, and that's the new thing. So we're saying over here in a similar way. In halachic reality, does the shvua have any existence? Well, if it doesn't do anything that I couldn't do before, if it doesn't change anything that I could have done before, then it's just theoretic. It's not. There's no halachic reality to the existence of the shvua as a thing, because it's the proverbial tree in the woods, right? So that's the halacha answers that question. If a halacha is chal and nothing happens, was the halacha chal? No, it was not. Okay? It was not. But if it's chal somewhere, then it is chal. Then this entity of shua exists. And now you can violate that entity of shua because it's been given existence via its manifestation somewhere in halacha. The point is, we have to give that halachic entity existence in order for us to say that we violated something. What thing did you violate? Well, there's a shvua that was created. Really? Where was it created? Well, I can't really show you where it was created. Then we say it wasn't created. But if I could say, yeah, you see the shchuta, you can't eat the shchuta. Oh, you're right. There is a new entity of shvua now that does exist. Now you're going to violate it. It's like, you understand? It's a little bit abstract. The other side is that there can't be any halachic maisa that's asur. If the other side is in terms of maisa. That's what we're trying to set it up. In other words, there's two frameworks that you can look at. You can look at isur in terms of maisa alone, what I can do, what I can't do. And then you can look at isur in terms of the ideals and the institutions, right? When I don't eat nevela, so you could say, well, because the isur nevela, this maisa is removed from you. The isur nevela removed the maisa of eating this kind of food, right? And it's sort of like a causative thing. The isur caused a certain change in your do's and don'ts, right? Or you can say, no, the isur nevela is like an entity, it's like an institution, and the reason why I can't eat the nevela is deeper than the first way. It's not just like a mice is removed. It's because I can't violate this ideal of nevela. Okay, so you look at the first way. So then we're saying, and the rule is that when we say ein isur chal isur, means there's no chalos of a redundancy. There's no such thing as a chalos of something that's completely superfluous and redundant in halachic reality. So the thing is like this. If you're going to look at everything in terms of maisa, so you'll say, well, look, the isur nevela removed from me the action of eating this piece of meat. So the isur shvua is not doing anything in terms of my ability to do and don't do. Right? So even if you call 100,000 things with it, in terms of this meat, nothing was removed. No ability was taken away from me to do or not to do. So then, there is no chalos of isur nevela vis-a-vis this. There's no chalos of shua vis-a-vis this meat. Because in order for halacha to be, when we say that halacha is chal, all it means is that a maisa was removed from my action. But the maisa was already moved from the vela. So shvuah can't remove that which was removed. Right? It's the same exact question. It's just an issue of whether you look at it completely from the maisa aspect of it, or from the existence of the institution. Okay, so if you're looking at it purely from the maisa element, so I'll say, well, look, what does it mean for an isser to be chal? It means that an action now is stamped. I can't do it. So if an action already didn't exist, can the isser stamp it? Not that I can't do it. No, it's not possible. It didn't exist already. The isser wasn't there anymore. The maisa wasn't there for me for the isser to be chal on. It's chal on maisa. But what maisa was a chal on? There was no maisa of eating this meat for the isser to be chal on. It didn't exist. So the isser can't be chal on isser nevela. But you also can't eat shchuta. Who cares? In terms of the shchuta, it's usher. In terms of the nevela, it's mutter. Nothing was done. Nothing was done in terms of nevela. But if you look at the whole thing differently, you say the real question is, can I create a new halachic institution that has a reality? Well, if the new institution doesn't do anything more than anything else that already exists, then we say you didn't make a new institution. But if it does, then we said, oh, you made a new institution. Now, once I made a new institution of Shua, everything that's included in that institution will be a violation of it. Sort of like a top-down or bottom-up. Isser always is, there's an ideal, and it trickles down to Maisa. Without ideal and Maisa, there's no mitzvah. Okay? Question is, where is the problem of Isser Chal Isser? Is it in producing that new entity of the ideal, the new institution? Or is it purely in the realm of the Maisa alone? So if it's in the realm of the institution, I just need something new that I can say the new institution was Chal, like the new position. Was there a new position that was created? Well, if I can show you one new thing he did, then I can say, yes, there was a new position created. So was there a new shvua made? Was there a new entity of shvua that was created? Well, yeah, you can't do something you could do before. So then the whole shvua was created. The whole shvua of not eating shchuta nevela, that was created.
And right? In that case, you are chayav?
Yes, shvua? Then you'll be chayav.
And what do you do about the problem of anus or chalaliser?
All it means is that there's no chalos of a pure redundancy. That's all it means. That's how they interpret it. Each one is interpreting the maxim. There's like a mesorah, ein iser chal iser. And then each one has to think it through in the way he's viewing things. So his idea of ein iser chal iser doesn't mean you can't be over for two things, a new thing and an old thing. It means it can't be chal if the chalos has no new expression. But once there is any new expression to the new chalos, the whole chalos is on there. The other way of saying no, it means literally that a maisa that was usher to me can't become usher to me again. So Reish Lakish, so the Gemara says, so that was Rabbi Yochanan and Rav and Shmuel. That they said, why is the guy chayev when he makes the shua about the nevela? It's because he's kolo. But and why is he potter? Because that sheet, the Reb Shimon, doesn't hold from Issa Kola at all in any time. It's not just a shua thing; it just doesn't hold from Issa Kola.
Who are you
talking? Reb Shimon. Because when it says, according to Reb Yochanan, they're learning the whole machlokas of the Chachamim and Reb Shimon about Issa Kola. And like Rashi says, Rabbi Shimon Poter, the Lasley Issa Kolo, Lo Amin Amigo, he just doesn't have Issa Kolo. He doesn't have Issa Kolo. But Reish Lakish gave a different interpretation to this machlokas. He said, Iata Motzi Ela Bimafaresh Chatzi Shir Valibid Rabbanon, Obistam Valibid Rabbikira. I need a flowchart for this one, right? So it means it like this. There's another machlokas that we're not concerned about. This is just you have to know it. Another machlokas. If a guy says a shua, I'm not going to eat meat. I'm not going to eat carrots, anything he says, right? When does he violate the shvuah? When he eats a kezias or when he eats any amount? What is the interpretation of the shvuah? Is the interpretation of the shvuah just like a regular isra achila? And when the Torah says don't eat something, it always means a kezias. So he also means a kezias. Or is it different? He's making up a new thing, and for him it means even a kol shehu. Okay?
Why would you assume kol shehu? I mean, why would we deviate from the norm?
Yeah. That's what I said. We're not going to go into the machlokas. So, but that's the machlokas. Okay? You can go into that in shul.
Because it's Lashon B'nei
Hevel? So now, that's all you have to know. Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbanon hold, that always means Kezias, and Rabbi Akiva means the Kol Shehu. Okay? So now, Reish Lakish is saying, when will the person be over the Shvua? It's when he says explicitly, I won't eat a chatzi shir according to the Rabbanon, or if he says it stam according to Rabbi Akiva. I mean, basically what he means to say is, if the person makes a shvua on a chatzi shir, then he'll be chayev. Why? Because he's not a mushba on the chatzi shir. Now, in order practically to make a shvua on a chatzi shir, it depends what your shita is in general. If your shita in general is, if I say I won't eat something, it means a kezias, then you have to make your shvuah explicitly. I won't eat a chatzi shayis of this. But if you're that's Rabban. That's b'mefaresh chatzi shir or leave it Rabban. He has to explicitly say he won't eat less than the shir going to Rabban. But if you hold Rabbi Kiva, all you need to say is I won't eat it. And then automatically it means chatzi shir. But basically, it's just a complication of how to get to the issur chatzi shir. But bottom line is, the way that Reish Lakish is learning the machlokas at least the way he's learning the tzad that says you're chayev for the shvua is by saying it's a case of chatzi shir. He made the shvua on a chatzi shir, which means you're not sworn already on the shir on the chatzi shir, which means it's mutter to eat a chatzi shir prior to the shvua. That's the gist of the Gemara's question. Okay. The Gemara is saying even midrabanan it wouldn't, the shul wouldn't, even if the issur was only midrabanan, the shul wouldn't be chal. And that's the Gemara is going to challenge that assumption. But that's the assumption right now. Okay, now some of you might be wondering, what's the tzad that says you're pater when you say chatzishir? Yeah.
In Reish Lakish's way of learning.
Because he's saying that there's no Isra in Chatzi Shir. So how could you be Pater? Okay, so conveniently, Rabbi Shimon is a shita that holds you get Malkus on a Kol Shehu. So Reish Lakish is not learning like, he's not learning like, he's saying that's the old Machlokus. Nobody holds like Rabbi Shimon. We don't have to worry about Rabbi Shimon. So then according to Rabbi Shimon, Dafka, there is no such a thing as a shir kezias in the Torah. He just doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. Reish Lakish holds all the shir, everything is kosher. I'm sorry, Reish Shimon holds all the shir are kosher.
What is the Reish Shimon putt
in? Oh, you putt in the shuah because you really, when the Torah says don't eat the vela, it's even on the kosher. He's going back on. That's a Reish Shimon putt there. Reish Shimon l'taimei, don't have a kosher nami mushba misinai. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Shula Makas. Interesting thing. He says, Lo Omru Kezias El Linyan Karbon. It is an interesting thing. That's an interesting machlokas. I think we should keep that in mind.
Aren't there places where it brings up?
Yeah, so this is the Gemara in Makos. I don't know if anybody remembers. We were doing Makos last year. But so in other words, it's a separate machlokas. Rabbi Shimon holds that we hold like this. We hold that kezias is for malchus, right? Kezias is for malchus. Take Reish Lakish. No, sorry. Take Rabbi Yochanan. Right? He says chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. Why does he call it a chatzi shir? Why is it a chatzi shir? So if it's asur min haTorah, then it's asur min haTorah, right? We're going to get into it. But the point is, he knows that there is a, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, kezayis is different than half a kezayis. In what sense? What sense? Malkos. At least in terms of malkos. Okay? If a person ate a kezayis of nevela, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he would get malkos. Or he's eligible for malkos. Right? But if he ate a half a kezayis of nevela, he would just be over an issa. Or take it by the Mishnah in terms of onshin. If he eats the koseves, if he eats the shear of Yom Kippur, he'll get kares. If he eats half a kezayis of the half a koseves, it'll be an iser. So in other words, even Rabbi Yochanan, who says chatzi shear is aser, right? It's different than the full shear. The full shear is for onshin, and the chatzi shear is iser. Okay, but there's another machlokas. See. There's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the other Tanayim. Rabbi Shimon holds, even from Malkus, there's no shear. The only shear that there is for carbon. Is for carbon.
And okay. He holds that's a kol shinu, or you have to.
No, kezayis. Kezayis is for carbon.
Kezayis for carbon.
No, if he ate it, kezayis is for carbon. But anyway, again, we're sort of getting deeper and deeper into this thing that's not really what the Gemara is trying to prove. But the basic point is like this. The Gemara is trying to show you now that what? The Gemara is asking a question now. How could Reish Lakish say you're putter on that you're chayev on the carbon shvua if you make a shvua on a chatzi zayas, that implies that there's no iser. Because he's saying ain iser chal iser. So he's saying the only way it's working is because there was no iser to begin with. But we're saying that he holds asa mid rabbanon. So how could it be? So you see, he must hold it's not asa mid rabbanon. Okay. Now the Gemara is like this: v'chi tema kevan de islay heter min haTorah kochal karban shrua. So the Gemara knows right away, and you're going to ask the question. You're going to say, one second. All we've said up till now is Ein Shvuah Chal Al Isser Torah. That if there's an Isser Nevela Midoraisa, then the Shvuah won't be Chal and Isser Midoraisa. But you're trying to prove that Reish Lakish doesn't even hold his Nisr Drabbanon by saying that because the Shvuah is Chal. But maybe the only time a Shvuah is not Chal and Isser is on Nisr Drabbanon. Maybe it's Chal and Nisr Drabbanon. And that makes perfect sense, right? Well, that's up to you to decide.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's see, Rashi. V'chi tema kevan. That's us, no? Yeah. V'chi tema kevan de isle heter min haTorah. In other words, according to the Torah, you're allowed to eat. Take Reish Lakish, even if he holds us in the Rabbanon. But according to the Torah, you're allowed to eat Chatzi Zayas. Yes. Right? So since Midoraisa it's mutter, ain't that mushba mi Sinai, you can't say that from Sinai he was sworn not to eat the Chatzi Zayas. V'chi mishtabeya alei chay l'shvua u'machayev Allah. And now when he makes his own shvua, it'll be chal and it'll be chayev on it. Right? That's the argument, that you can't. The Drabbanons don't create this idea of a Mushba V'Omid. Only a Daraisa creates the idea of Mushba V'Omid. So now the Gemara says, that's not so fast. Ratnan, but we learned in the Mishnah. Shuo Sa'edos Eina Noheges Ela Beru'uyin Le'ed. Okay, that's what we were discussing last week. That if a person is kofer, he denies that he has any Eidos for somebody, and he's roy to be made, he's a kosher aid, then, and he takes a shvua that he has no edus, he'll be chayev what's called a shvua's edus, a carbon. V'havinan bo, and the Gemara discusses it over there, why does it have to say, ein anoheges ela beru'uyin lehayed? The Mishnah already gave a bunch of cases that Shua Seidus doesn't apply to Krovim, it says, doesn't apply to Psulim, right?
So why does it have to have the klal in the end? Right, that's a general question. Whenever the Mishnah gives rule, gives specifics, and then gives a rule, I always ask, what's the rule coming that the specifics didn't, that was missing from the specifics? Right? So the Gemara says, Lemuti mai, what's it excluding? Rav Papa Omar Lemuti melech. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omar Lemuti mesachik b'kuvya. Okay, so we're going to take the second one. So one says it excludes a king, because a king doesn't get judged. And he doesn't give testimony, he doesn't have testimony given against him. So he's not Roy Latus. Okay?
Never?
Can you ever
impeach him? Or like, can the king be held up on the Sanhedrin for Misa or something like that?
The king ain't done in Oso.
So he could like worship in public, he could murder people in public?
I'd have to check. Is that Mominus or even Nefajos? Mustafa, you're right. Mominus probably only. Anyway, so... But the second case is that it's talking about a gambler, okay? And a gambler is pasul le'edus midrabanan, because he's not concerned with the yishuv olam. Just an unsavory character. Right? He's involved in something that's called like a gezel midrabanan, because that's how we're going to get into this. Hopefully we'll get into this this year. That it's the question called an asmachta. That whenever a person bets, why do you bet?
You're going to win.
You don't hope you're going to win. You think you're going to win. You think you're going to win. If you're a good gambler, you think you're going to win. You know you're going to win. Let's put it this way. You don't put the money down on the table to give it to the other guy. Mm-hmm. Nobody has das that they want to give. It's not like a purchase. Nobody wants to give that money away. Mm-hmm. They only put it down because they think they're going to get the money back, the other guy's money back. So the question, the whole sugi over there, is that considered like there's no real gemiras das to give the guy your money? All right, there are ways that you can do it and ways that you can't do it. But bottom, basically, mesachik b'kuvya, the guy who plays dice player, is posel midrabanan to be an aid. Okay.
Also
gopher. So now, no, it's just posel midrabanan to be an aid.
Wait, casinos also?
Huh?
Casinos also, or just the dice player?
Well, casinos also, no. It depends how you do it. So if you put the money down on the table, really, that's different.
Right? You must think.
So anyway, the point is like this. That a guy who is a gambler, right, is only possible as an aid midrabanan. So in the eyes of Torah, he's a kosher aid.
So you should have to make the shul.
Exactly. So if he is a Drabbanan Posel aid, and he denies having testimony, so why should he be pater from Shavuos Eidus? You see that in terms of the Daraisa, we take into account even things that are exist midrabbanan. Now let's take a look at the end of the Rashi, the end of the long Rashi on the beginning of the page. Right, he says, "V'i sviver leila reish lakish dechatzis shir aser midrabanan." Got it there?
How far in it?
It's it's like 7-8 lines down from the top.
Less than one.
V'i sviver. This is the end of the question. V'i sviver leila reish lakish dechatzis shir aser midrabanan. Hechi muki lo lahad etani chayev ba'ocho chatzis shir. So if he really holds chatzis shir as asa midrabanan, then how could you be chayev a shua if you'll say you won't eat a chatzis shir? Garei af olav mushba. You really already are sworn not to eat that chatzis shir. Mishum lav delo sasar. Right? Now the Torah says, listen to the Rabbanan. Don't deviate from what the rabbis tell you. Okay? The rabbis tell you, don't eat chatzis shir. So that's the strength of the question. So the Gemara is saying, okay. So if the Rabbanon tell you, don't eat the chatzis shir, according to Reish Lakish, and the Torah says you must follow the Rabbanon, right? Then it comes out that it's like you're a mushba misinai to not eat the chatzis shir of the Nevela.
That'll be with anything.
With anything. So then, how could the Isser be, how could the Shua be Chal in the Chatzis Shir? That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question was, I'll prove to you that Reish Lakish holds its Mutter Midrabanan. Because if it was Asa Midrabanan, it would ipso facto be
Asa
Midaraisa. And if it's Asa Midaraisa, the Shvur shouldn't be chal on it. Right? Were you here on Friday? Yeah, you were. Right? That was like the Rambam. Rambam says every Drabanan is a Daraisa. Because of Los Asar. You violate the Rabbanan. You violate the Raisa every time you violate the Rabbanan. This is Gemara is tough for the Ramban, because Ramban held this is just Nasmacha. But it's a good ride to the Rambam, this Gemara. So the Gemara says, and I'll show it to you elsewhere that it's true. Why? Here we go, Avi. Ready? Avi?
Yeah.
Back to the Shua's case. The Torah says, if a viable aid withholds testimony, with a shvua, he's chayav a karban. That's what the Torah says, right? If a kosher aid withholds testimony and takes a shvua to that effect, then he's chayav a karban. Okay? So now, really, we want to know what's the definition of a kosher aid. Okay? So if a guy is a relative, he's obviously not a kosher aid. He's an apostle, whatever, he's not a kosher aid. But what if the Rabbanan say a gambler is not a kosher aid? Okay. So the Mishnah says, even if the guy is only a gambler, he's considered a non-kosher aid. Even in the eyes of this din midaraisa. Because We want to know how the Torah views the gambler. Why? Because you can only bring a karban. You're going to bring a karban if the Torah considers him to be a kosher aid, and you won't bring a karban if the Torah considers him to be a posel aid. So karban is really going to hang on the determination of whether this person is kosher or posel. And obviously that means in the eyes of the Torah. Because carbon is only, you can't bring a chul into the azar. I mean, you can't bring a carbon unless the Torah tells you to bring carbon. You're not going to be pata from the carbon either, unless the Torah says you pata from the carbon. So we want to know how the Torah is viewing this. So it's an interesting test case, right? How does the Torah view the psul d'rabbanan? If it doesn't recognize what the rabbanan do, then he should be chayav a carbon shavuos aedus. And if he's potter from the shavuos aedus, then that means the Torah considers him a posel aid, even though the Rabbanan were the ones who said it's posel. Because of Lo Sosser. And lo and behold, the Mishnah says, the gambler can't bring, the gambler is potter from the shavuos aedus. So you see, even the Rabbanans are recognized by the Raisa as part of the Torah. And therefore, if there was an Isser Chatzis Shir Mid Rabbanan, Reish Lakish would never say, you'll be chayav for the Shua. So it must be that Reish Lakish does not even hold from Isser Rabbanan on Chatzis Shir, and now he's stuck with the Mishnah. Complicated for a fast day? But anyway, so look. So the Gemara gives a quick answer. What's the Gemara's answer? Here's an interesting answer. Gemara says like this. You haven't proven anything. It's very possible that the Raisas don't recognize the Rabbanans at all. They don't recognize the Raisas. Well, I shouldn't say that. It's very possible that the Raisas don't recognize the Rabbanans as the Raisas. Right? But, so then why is the guy putter from Yeshua? For withholding testimony, if according to the Torah he was roy, because the pasuk says im lo yagid.
Yeah, well, I didn't get that. What is that?
Torah says if he doesn't testify, right? V'hai lav bar hagadahu klal. Let's see Rashi. Im lo yagid, mashma mi shehagadah shelo moeles lebal hadin. V'hai lo mahanyo hagadah didei. So the din is, in order to be chayef to have the shvuas ha'edus, you have to be, it has to be that if you would have testified, you would have won the case for the guy.
Okay.
Okay. Now, so in other words, you really have to be the cause of his losing the case. Your lack of testimony has to be the direct cause, the sole and direct cause of his losing the case. Okay? So let's say he's kasher midaraisa. Okay? But the Rabbanan simply say, we will never accept him in our court. Okay? So forget about whether he's kasher or apostle. I'm going to ask you another question. Did his refusing to testify cause this guy to lose? No. Because even if he was willing, Beis Din would have shut the door in his face. So it's not a matter of his shame of an aid kusher or an aid posel that potters him from the carbon. It's the fact that Beis Din is run by the Rabbanon and they set up the rules of how it's run, and if they decide that they won't accept this guy, then practically speaking, his aedus cannot be considered to have caused that other guy to lose. It's an end run. It has nothing to do.
Marisa.
Nope, because you're only chayev in lo yagid if your testimony would have helped the guy. No,
because
Beis Din would not have heard it.
They wanted to take
him. I'll give you an example. I'll give you another example. You were in Beis Din, right? I believe the halach is that you're not allowed to make a sukkah on a camel.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Literally, on around the camel, like on it, and he's supporting you, right? And what's the problem? Because I think the Gemara says, that's a funny Gemara, but I think the Gemara that says, the problem is that you're not allowed to go, you're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos. Okay, so one day of the week you won't be able to live in that sukkah. Okay, so the Gemara says, so what about the rest of the days?
It's fine. Ah. But it says kol shivas yomim.
The rest of the days will be fine, but a sukkah has to be roy for kol shivas yomim. Now it doesn't matter why. It doesn't matter that it's the Rabbanon that make the iser. Practically speaking, you can't live in that sukkah. The Rabbanon just happened to be a reason why you can't live. It's not that the Torah recognizes the Rabbanon as an institution necessarily. But it does alter our behavior. It does alter what our ability of living, of Dira is. So now it comes out for a Torah-abiding Jew, this sukkah is not Roy L'Dira Kol Shiva. Just like if there were flies flying around in there or something. Or if it got too hot or too cold. What's the difference? What's the difference between a physical impediment or a halachic impediment? But the point is, our only question over here, and what we have to think about, we didn't really think about this Gemara, it was too complicated, is the Gemara is conceding at the end that of course what the Rabbanon do have practical outcomes, and if there's a practical requirement in the Daraisa halacha, the Rabbanon can affect that. If practically you're only going to be chayef for being a bad aid, if you're only going to be chayef for being a bad aid, if you practically prevented the guy from winning, and the Rabbanon say can change the practicality, they say, well, he didn't do anything because we wouldn't have accepted him. That's not an issue. That's clear. That everybody agrees. But if, or like case by kedushin, the Gemara says, if midrabbanon we say that the Gemara has a case like chametz on erev Pesach from the fifth hour. Is asher midrabbanan behano. Okay? Can you be mekadesh and isha with that money? Can you take a challah roll on the fifth hour before the day and say, and be mekadesh and isha with it? So you say, well, midoraisa, there's no isra hano. So is there like a kedushin doraisa? What's going on with it? So you say, no, because the Torah says give her something of value. If the Rabbanon say it's asa b'hana, then practically speaking, it has no value. Right? And the Torah will recognize that, of course. Because what's value to begin with? Value is only what people, how people treat things. What's a shavar pruta? It just goes by what people, how people treat things. So, if halachically we abide by the rules of the Rabbanon, and they say that this has no value, then you don't say, well, midoraisa, it has no value, is a purely practical concept, right? So too over here. Winning this case, it has to go by the practicality of having been able to win the case. Or dira, it has to go by the practicality of how you can live. So that's not a question. The Rabbanon can definitely affect the practicality of things. But the question of this Gemara was a much deeper question. Can they actually alter the shame of a thing, of a chefza? Can they actually create a shame, iser achila, in something? Or a shame, aid puzzle, in the gavra? Reminiscent, right, very reminiscent of the Mosra Nakosav Lechachamim question. Right? Where they can actually step in and define something in the Daraisa framework itself. Right?
Maybe here it's already set up for them to determine it.
No, that seems to be the Gemara's question here. When the Rabbanon are given license of Lo Sosor, and they extend Isurim, right? They take Isur of a Kazayas and extend it to a Chatzishir. Does that license of Lo Sosor now incorporate an idea, a real chalos shame of an Issa Deraisa on the Chatzishir? Apparently the Gemara is saying only that would really give, only that would really prevent an Issa from being chal on it. So now let's think about this, okay? Think about this. Was when the Gemara, what came out of this whole mess? That's what you sort of have to think about. Right? What happened? It was like a whirlwind. What happened? Okay, so I'm proposing that these are the issues that flew by. Okay? The Gemara's not abandoning the idea that there are Drabbanon and Isurim. Right? But the question is, are the Rabbanons exist in a way that would be on par to the Daraisa and would have two manifestations. One, it would prevent an Isser from being Chal on them, like a Shur. And secondly, it would actually rise to the level of making the guy a Pasul Aid. Right? The Maskana is you can't prove that. The Maskana of the Gemara is you can't prove that the Rabbanans ever rise to that level. But where? But what are they if they don't rise to that level? How do they exist then? Right? Now, there's three possibilities. The Rabbanans don't exist, which I don't think this Gemara is entertaining. They exist in a way that's like on par to the Daraisa. And then anything that would be Daraisa would be affected by that level. So if I say a Shrua Nevelo, a Shir, a Chat, a Kazayas of the Nevelo is not Chal, then a Shrua and a Chatzayas of the Nevelo would be Chal. Why? Because the Rabbanan said don't eat Chatzayas. Or if he said someone who's Apostle Aid can't, is Pater from Shrua, then even if the Rabbanan said he's Apostle Aid, would be Pater from Shrua. That's the second possibility. And the third possibility is, which I think the Gemara settles on, that there are Isur mid Rabbanan, but they don't exist equal to the derisives. But how does that work? It still comes from Los Osor. I mean, basically what I'm saying is, what's that question? When you go back to the derisive of Los Osor, what results? Does it result like a new idea, new entities of Torah, or something else?